Morris. Mr. Lowski, welcome again to Radio Australia. Great to have you here.
And great to be here. Good morning, everyone.
Now, you're a business futurist, and some of the things that we could talk about here are very interesting about the future. Where will the future go? You've got an interesting story about how Google, which is, seems to be taking over everything at the moment, is also wanting to attack or to get into the ground of Microsoft and Apple with their operating system.
They're certainly tilting at that windmill. They've told Microsoft in no uncertain terms that they're developing their own OS, which is operating system, which is equivalent to having a Windows-type environment. It won't be Linux, obviously, but it'll be something like Linux, meaning it'll be open source, available to everybody, available for free, and go for it. Do whatever you want on top of it. We permit it.
Whoa.
So, you know...
You download it and have it instead of your
Absolutely.
Mac system or your...
Or your Mac or your Windows. You won't need to buy either of those. You'll just be able to download this and your systems will run, and it'll have all the Google Empire stuff on it, plus whatever other applications people want to build for
Empire
it.
Empire being the word, yeah.
I was going to ask you, what's in it for Google if they can't make any money out of it? So it's world domination.
It looks like it, doesn't it? Especially cyber world domination.
Is that a good or bad thing?
Look, it's difficult to know. The thing I like about Google is they keep pushing it. They really are, in very many ways, like Apple. They push the boundaries all the time, and they make sure that things are changing. If it was left to Microsoft, with the best of intentions, wonderful company, certainly given us a lot, we'd pretty much be where we were 20 years ago. Nothing's really changed on that horizon. Google says, look, there's better ways to do things, and why I like them is because they do it from ground zero. They don't take a halfway point. They don't say, look, this is where we've been, let's move on from here. They say, let's re-engineer it from ground up. Let's have a look at what we're trying to achieve.
Well,
forget everything that's been done, and let's just attack it in a different way.
Does this mean there'll be ads then on that operating system?
Who knows? Linux has been around forever and ever, and there aren't any ads. So Linux is just a freeware product that's available to anybody to download. It has all kinds of flavors. Ubuntu is one of the most popular ones.
But do you like it? Do you like the Linux system?
I don't use it much, but I don't mind it at all. I must say, I'm a bit lazy. So I find Windows is much easier to use because I don't want to have to think that hard. But for people that don't mind it, I know it's a terrific system. I certainly use it and got lots of mates that love it. Yeah.
Right.
So watch out. Watch this space. I mean, they've said to us in a couple of ways. I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about Google Wave taking over that new messaging online, talking to each other thing. They've now said that they're bringing out this operating system. What's next?
All right. Now, let's talk about the top music invention of the last 50 years, and Apple would be very upset that it's not the iPod.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they? But in fact, it's its predecessor. So this is a survey that came out about a week ago from T3 magazine, one of those great little magazines full of gadgets and boffiny things.
That always has to use a very sexy-looking woman on the front cover to sell its magazine.
I didn't say that. I only read it for the articles.
Of course.
Can you send me a copy?
I'll see if I can
she
get an autograph for you. So they came up with a top 50, and in fact, using what we said before about spacemen, Walkman was number one. They said it was the best invention in the last 50 years. And when I read why, I thought it made a lot of sense. Because Walkman, they claimed, was the first apparatus, the first thing that actually allowed us to take our music mobile. It changed the way we thought and felt about this whole industry. I mean, before we could walk around with our big ghetto blasters on our shoulders.
Well, before that, I had a little portable cassette machine with a little earpiece that you give on the side, and they had batteries. But
it wasn't really set up for being out and about. It didn't have the stereo. It really wasn't robust enough to do it. You're right, we could take them out and do it, and we all did. I mean, I remember walking around as a kid also with my little, you know, cassette recorder and an earpiece. But it wasn't as funky as this thing is. So Walkman really changed the way that we saw ourselves. It changed the way that we were, and it was the first status symbol. It really was the predecessor to the iPod, for those that remember it. And what they've said is that, look, if we didn't have this, chances are we wouldn't have MP3, which is the portable music phenomenon that we have, and we most likely wouldn't have an iPod.
Because you had to have the concept first.
You had to have the idea that people wanted to carry music around with them.
And it became the Discman, of course, which lasted for a few years, except they kept bumping all the time, and they were just annoying.
But they had the anti-skip versions, but sadly now...
They still weren't all that great.
No.
Yeah, right, they had
MP3s beat them all.
Yeah. And it's one of those wonderful innovation stories, too, that this thing shouldn't have existed. It was really just somebody's whim. You know, the head of Sony decided that he wanted to walk around with music on his ears, and he didn't like what he had. He didn't like the old cassette records, and he yelled down the corridor and said, build me something. And the build me something. I mean, the story was bigger than that, but the build me something became this Walkman.
It was an extraordinary piece of engineering because it was not much bigger than a cassette itself, was it?
Absolutely. It really just surrounded it. It was almost like a case for it, you're right. Yeah. And it became smaller as it got through its iterations. So phenomenal thinking around it. So I think maybe they're
right. You agree? Yeah.
I do. I think maybe they're right on that one.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Now, let's go to something else. Denial service attack has brought down government computers. Now, we heard about this. What a story that was.
It was, wasn't it? It really did the rounds. So, America and South Korea have been hit in the last week or so with all of these zombie computers. I love that word. I prefer that much to denial
service. Why are they called zombie computers?
They're called zombie computers because what happens is that through a virus that you put onto your own PC at home or at office, somebody can remotely control your computer. And what it does is to take together all of these remote control computers, which are zombies. In other words, you have no idea that they're working, they don't know what they're doing. It unites them together into one force, into one army, and sends them all in one direction.
Like brains.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So it sends out this message to all the little robots. All
we're joking, zombies. Annalise. They're not after brains. All right? Annalise is looking sick here.
So it sends out this message to all the zombies, all the little robots around the world, literally, and it can be millions and millions of them connected to one of these, and says, you know, go and do this. Go and send this one email to this one place, or go and log into this, or go and try a fake password onto this site. So that's what's been happening. It's had millions and millions of computers around the world going into these government websites and trying to log in under false passwords, or trying to download something, or trying to do something at the front end. The important thing with this is it hasn't been malicious at the back end. In other words, no service has been stopped because of it. The government's still doing its work. Everything's happening as it should, or you know, maybe as it shouldn't. But the front end has been where it's collapsed. So the poor little server at the front says, look, I can't cope with a million people asking me to do this. And it just literally falls over flat on the floor.
Oh, dear. But a lot of South Korean computers have been hit by this, and there are fingers pointing at North Korea. We don't know, because the opinion is very divided now as to the extent of that, or whether there actually is involvement with North Korea.
Yes.
But what's the story behind that?
Oh, I wouldn't go out on that game at all. I'm enjoying my life as it is.
Okay, then moving on. But it's very hard to find out who the culprit is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And in fact, it's almost impossible. I mean, it's almost impossible because you are getting these tens, hundreds, thousands, millions of computers all hitting it. So to trace it back, what's important, though, from our end is to make sure that our computers are as safe as they can be. And that's the important thing that we need to do. So you need to make sure you've got your patches up to date. I know everyone says this, like the doctor giving you the same advice. But make sure your patches are up to date so your Windows and whatever have the latest things.
How good are the free patches?
You need to be really, really... Well, the free patches from Windows and Microsoft and the authentic places are absolutely okay. And you need to make sure you're at a Microsoft site and download. In fact, I'd go the other way and put automatic download on so that it only gets the Microsoft ones. I'd be very wary, just wary, of all of the antivirus software that's free. There are some great ones, but make sure you do your reviews and your research before you choose one of them. And the hint around that is that a lot of these spy bots, a lot of these things that are going into your computer are actually coming in through antivirus stuff. So you really need to be
sure. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the back door. So what they're doing is that when you go into a website, what some of them are doing is when you go into a website and you download something, they're putting something malicious on it, which then stops your computer, which then comes up with a message and says, would you like this software to get rid of it for you? Many people are choosing the way out, which is yes. And what they're getting is this thing gone from their computer, but the zombie installed.
Okay. When will you be?
Is there a way to tell on your computer whether you already have something that shouldn't be there, a malicious software?
The only way really to tell is to download some reputable piece of antivirus software and get it checked. Microsoft has some great products too which you can download. So again, I know I've said it already, but make sure that it's something that's reviewed. There's a lot of conversation. People are saying it's a great place to be. Download that one and check, and you should be doing that with them.
Check out the online forums.
Yeah, and of course, don't be anywhere you shouldn't be, and don't give out any more information than you would yell in the marketplace in the street.
That's a very good way of putting it. Okay, my credit card detail is 397. Yeah, right.
You wouldn't do that in the marketplace, yelling it out. So don't do it online. Be really careful. If you're doing that kind of stuff online, which is safe, let's say credit cards are safe online, as long as the padlock at the bottom in the right-hand corner is there, and as long as it's got the certificates, and you're really sure that the site is what it's supposed to be, then it's cool, and the banks are behind it. Always safe.
Maurice Michalowski, I wanted to talk to you about renting books or textbooks, but we might leave it for next time, eh?
Absolutely.